Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Because Show.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, this is Geralyn.
And Amy.
And Susan is not with us tonight. We are Catch the Fever.
Deeper Fever.
We're going to blow this podcast out of the water. We have so much to talk about. But first of all, Amy, how are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I had too much caffeine today, and I spent most of the time at work stuck to the ceiling and sweating, almost in a panic. I don't know if anybody does that. And now I'm crashing, and I'm like, oh, God, I want to go to bed. But I'm sure this podcast will totally perk me up, but not as much as I was today, because that kind of sucked.
It's either feast or famine.
Yep.
Well, we have some voicemails. Okay. Well, I'm a little bit on the slow side tonight. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm unfortunately coming down with a cold.
Oh, no.
So bear with us. But then I know recording a podcast always gets me amped up and feeling fine. So,
yes.
We have a lot of updates and news. Shall we start with the most exciting or the least exciting?
Oh, my gosh. Are we going to do this like traditional newspaper way where you go least to most, or the internet way where you go most to least?
Well, let's bury the lead.
Okay, let's.
Well, last time we recorded, some time ago, you had mentioned an article you read in the New York Times about The Canyons,
mm-hmm.
a movie that's being an independent film directed by Paul Schrader, written by Bret Easton Ellis, starring James Dean, a previously known porn star, mm-hmm. and Ms. Lindsay Lohan.
That's correct.
And it turns out that it's still in the news today, weeks and weeks later, because it's been turned down by the South by Southwest Film
no
Festival.
No way.
It didn't make it into the festival. And that's big news, because apparently a lot of most indie features of any renown are let into this. But apparently an insider reported or leaked out to the press that this film has an ugliness, and I'm quoting, an ugliness and deadness.
Oh, my God. Doesn't that make you want to see it?
Yeah.
Me too.
Well, the thing is, and then there's this big hullabaloo because it is very, very poor etiquette for a film festival mm-hmm. to comment on a film that's not even in their festival.
Yeah.
That's like really, really taboo, because it's like, don't give the film press if it's not even included in your schedule. But so anyway, so it's on the internet that this
wow.
is going to be a big deal, and everyone is basically waiting breathlessly to see this film.
That's a good one.
I know.
That's not even the most exciting thing?
No. Well, one of the, we'll step it up a little
okay.
bit more exciting
okay.
is a raclette party.
That was fun.
Shall we talk?
Yes, let's
raclette.
Talk about it.
For people who don't know our podcast, we are friendly with another podcast called The Table Set, and these are three charming gentlemen who podcast on entertaining and foodie topics, cocktails and parties and all sorts of fun. You can find them on iTunes at The Table Set. Well, they invited us over to one of their houses to have a raclette party. And actually, it was a little bit more than a raclette party. Amy, would you like to elaborate?
It was like raclette, Valentine's Day raclette pajama haiku party, which doesn't sound like it all goes together, but it totally did. That's because, and really that's only because they're so good at what they do.
Well, did you even know what raclette was? Because I did
not.
No,
I had no idea.
So what it was is the raclette, I don't know if it's Swedish or what, but they had a big wedge of cheese and you stick the cheese. It's basically fondue without the fondue pot.
Pretty much.
You take the cheese, you stick it directly in the fireplace. They used an oven mitt. They used tongs.
Mm-hmm.
They used their bare hands.
Their manly hands.
And then the cheese, it gets all gooey. It's like kind of like a Parmesan-y, like it's a hard cheese, but it gets gooey in the fire, and then you scrape it off onto a plate and get the gooeyness.
Right, and it gets smoky in the fire,
and
which makes it extra delicious too.
Eat it with cubes of bread.
We eat it with cubes of bread and sausage things and cornichon, and what else was there? It was so delicious.
Like little roasted potatoes.
Oh yeah, the roasted potatoes and roasted root vegetables.
It was at our friend Greg's house,
which was an amazing house.
This house, it was probably perhaps the nicest house I have ever been in Los Angeles.
I mean, think of this quintessential Southern California house, you guys. Just like imagine it. You go through the tinkly gate and there's the cobblestone courtyard, and off in the distance is the pool, and there's, you know, chair, there's seating areas and it's peaceful. And in the distance, you can kind of hear the sound of the freeway. And that's even before you get in this beautiful Spanish style, old, beautifully done house. I mean, it's gorgeous.
Well, they had lived there for 15 years. So they had had a chance to decorate it like so beautifully and take their time and like make every little corner perfect. And it was kind of a, I'd say like an old fashioned, traditional antique-y style. Like there were a lot of really gorgeous, like dark wood antiques and high ceilings and beautiful oil paintings on the walls. And it was just like,
but it was so Hollywood. If anyone has seen that movie, that I can't remember the name of, it was with, Brendan Fraser and the old guy,
The Gardener.
No, Serene McKellen.
Gods and Monsters.
Yes, Gods and Monsters. Yeah. I was crazy for that house, and it was similar to that house. So it's very old Hollywood, Spanish-style Hollywood, just gorgeous, beautifully done.
So we showed up, and they, everybody changed into their pajamas, and they gave us champagne, and we milled about, and we sat in front of the fireplace. We munched on deliciousness. Mm-hmm. It was great. We didn't have to cook anything. We didn't have to bring anything. Mm-mm. And then afterward, after we were done with the raclette, we recorded a little podcast with them.
And it was really fun.
Which, it was really fun. And we wrote haikus. Mm-hmm. They did this fun thing where everybody picked a subject, a topic out of a pot, a hot pot, they call it. And we all had like 5 minutes to write a haiku. And then we went around the table and read them. And of course, you know, the whole thing was recorded. So if you want to hear that episode, find it on iTunes, the table set.
Yeah. And we also all got into bed together and took pictures. It was really fun.
It was, for a Sunday night, it was great. Not even for a Sunday night, for any
just
night.
Just for any night. It just was being super waited on like that in such luxurious surroundings was pretty fabulous.
So we also, okay, so the raclette party was great.
In summation, raclette party, good.
I'm juggling between my iPad going back and forth between the notes and the long list of my voicemails that we have to play. Because it's been a while. We haven't, like I said, it's feast or famine. We have a whole bunch of voicemails to play.
Hello, ladies. This is Brooke in Roseville, California. And I'm calling because I've just started listening to episode 55, so I'm a couple behind. So if this has already been addressed, then you can ignore this voicemail. But I just listened to the part where Geralyn said that her doctor told her it's no longer necessary to do self breast exams, and I was a little bit horrified at that advice because I think that no one knows your breasts better than you do, and that you or maybe your partner are far more likely to find any lumps if you're doing an exam once a month than your doctor is when you're just going once a year. Within the past 3 years, I have known 5 people who've had breast cancer. And they've all found their own lumps. 2 of the women were family members, and they are older, my grandma and her sister. But, you know, they had to go through the mastectomy and the chemo and the radiation and the whole ball of wax, and they found their own lumps. And the other 3 ladies I know are women in their late 30s, so young, and it's unusual, but it's getting more common for young women to get them. And I think that sometimes the doctors aren't as concerned when, you know, a 35-year-old woman goes in for her pap, and they're, you know, I just think that it's better for you to do it yourself. I have no problem feeling myself up once a month and continues to do so, because breast cancer is a terrible, horrible thing, and getting it at age 35 or 38 or 40 is so shocking and so traumatic for you and your family and everyone around. So I just wanted to say that. And thanks for the podcast. I love you guys. And I will be listening. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Brooke. That was a great message. I got to say, I agree with you. Because, I mean, I guess your doctor said it because of all the false alarms, right?
No, it's not that my doctor said it. It's the American, Cancer Society. It's no longer, what do they call it? The American Physicians such and such Association. Okay. The people who make recommendations that all the doctors follow say that it is no longer advised that self-exams are done.
Did they say why?
Because, as I mentioned before, because of too many false positives.
But wouldn't you rather have a false positive than not know that you have it?
Well, this is where it does get into a gray area. However, there are biopsies. I mean, the thinking is that the biopsies and the radiation and the following tests may be, you know, if you would not want to have those for a false positive. You only want to have those if there is a necessary concern.
Right, because the tests themselves can do damage.
The tests themselves can be would be invasive mm-hmm. and hard on the body.
Yeah.
But yes, I can definitely see. I did go back and I checked my sources. Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely my doctor did tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did the research on that the American Academy mm-hmm. does not recommend self-exams. So, mm-hmm. but I do agree with Brooke that early detection and, of course, prevention are the first steps.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I do not do... I certainly don't check myself regularly, but as I mentioned on the show, I think I had a lump once a long time ago and it was really noticeable. Like I was just like, and I don't know, I don't remember how I noticed it, but I did. I was like, wow, that was not there before. And that feels like something that should not be there. And it ended up being nothing. But, I'm really glad I noticed it and I'm really glad I went in and I think they did a biopsy and, you know, that was good. So I don't know. I kind of think that, I guess you sort of have to pick your, you have to sort of make a choice there, but I don't think it's going to be bad to check your breasts. I mean, I just can't see how that's a bad decision. And then you go to your doctor and doctors can usually tell even by feeling, you know, they're educated people, what kind of lump it may or may not be. So that would be step two. And you just kind of go from there. But I think actually not doing it, like actively deciding not to do it, maybe is not a great way to proceed.
Well, and apparently breast cancer is a disease that it doesn't follow, like, it's not necessarily true that you're going to find like a little seed and then mm-hmm. it grows into an almond sized thing. And then it's like, you could wake up more. This is what I read on the internet, that it could be one day, nothing's there. And the next day you've got a lump the size of a walnut, like overnight.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's not something that's easily detectable to the untrained hand. However, I would just, from what I'm saying, take my words with a grain of salt. And when you have your annual exam, bring it up with your own physician.
Yeah. And ladies, just, you know, be educated and check yourselves and don't panic. But it's good to have the information because we love our boobs. We want to keep them around.
So it is the American Cancer Society that is de-emphasizing breast self-exams. And that is the organization that is putting the message out there. So anyway, moving on to lighter topics, maybe now since we are talking about the female body, let's move down lower in the anatomy and talk about something a little more fun.
I know what we're going to talk about and I'm so excited to do it.
Okay. Well, let's, you know, I feel like sometimes I talk on this podcast a little bit too much, so I'm going to hand it over to you.
Okay.
Let's update on the Sibian.
The Sibian. So listen to this, you guys. You may or may not remember, if you heard it, you probably remember. I think it was a few weeks ago, Geraldine brought up the fact that there is a $1,300 vibrator out there called the Sibian. And I guess it's shaped like a saddle. It was invented in the 70s. It's been around for a while. It's supposed to be pretty amazing. For $1,300, like, I better be, you know, expelling diamond dust or whatever. So jokingly, I said, hey, Geraldine, write to them and let's get a sample and we can review it on the show. Ha ha ha. And then on the Facebook page, we got this email from one of our listeners.
We got an email from Courtney.
Courtney's so awesome.
She's
our
hero.
Listeners. Yeah. First of all, this week and the past couple of weeks, I've just been really amazed by our listeners and how awesome you guys are. It's great. So anyway, so Courtney emails us and says, you guys, guess what? My husband did a documentary on the Sibian. He just totally filmed Dave, the inventor, or maybe Dave's her husband. I don't know.
Dave's the inventor.
I forgot her husband's name. She's like, and I brought him in and I made him listen to it and to your show. And he was just like, oh yeah, I could totally send those girls a sample. I will totally send it to him. And I was like, no way. I mean, the thing is we all have to share it, you know, but he emailed Geraldine and said, hey, give me your address. I'm going to send this to you, which is so amazing.
I, like, laughed for about 5 minutes.
It's like a dream come true.
When I read her message, I was like, just amazing. No way.
That what? Is like, put it out, ask, and you shall receive. And now I want to check for $20,000. Just kidding.
I am really so appreciative of Courtney and Jason, her husband.
Yes.
But she just like totally, it was like the next day that I posted that podcast, she was messaging us, totally made it happen. And
she is on top of it.
I had forgotten that she is, she's also a blogger. She has a blog mm-hmm. called imms.com. So she has this blog, imms.com, where she's tracking her life as a mom to a young kid and a wife and trials and tribulations of making it through the day when everything is around you is a mess. So definitely check out her blog. Because, you know, I found that, kind of to change the subject a little, the blogs that I follow are the ones where I like the personalities of the people. It may not be the subject. Like, I don't, you know, it's like, oh, this is a great looking blog about cupcakes, but if I don't actually like the personality of the person writing it, it like gets old really fast.
You know, at the in the end, you got to be a good writer.
Yeah.
You just got to be able to do it. And then if your blog is like, you know, the crappiest styled thing, like it doesn't matter. Like you got to be a good writer.
It's personality coming through your writing.
Exactly.
So I suggest everybody, this is also leading back to that we do, as much as our listeners support us, we like to support our listeners. So if people have a blog or a project or a thing or a whatnot that they want us to give a shout out for, go ahead and reach out to us and let us know what it is.
Yeah, we'll be happy to do it.
Because we're not snobby or snooty.
Not too bad.
We'll do it.
Well, we totally are, but not to you guys, to other things that are not listener related. But you guys also, Courtney said that Jason would be on our show. So we can think about that too. Maybe we should have him on the show after when we review the thing.
The inventor, Dave, or her husband, Jason. I'm sure they'll both come on.
Okay, they should both come on. I don't know. Maybe just, I don't know. What if we don't like it? I don't want to insult anybody. Okay.
First of all, I am very hesitant. I don't think I can, I don't even want to get into this, but I don't think I can come to climax thinking about you doing the same thing that I'm doing.
Of course you can.
I don't want to
share
it.
Wait, you don't think about that already?
I don't want to share this thing. I may just give it to you.
I know you didn't want to do it.
Well, I told that to my husband, Bob, and he was about ready to kill me. He was like, no, you can't give it away.
Yeah.
But
well, why don't you just use it first? I will totally use it last.
That's still going to gross me out, though.
Okay. God, it so does not bother me for a second.
Okay. Well, it's funny because we put posed a question on Facebook to our listeners of how we have this one thing, this one Sibian being sent to us. There's three of us. How should we decide who gets to use it?
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite answer was somebody wrote in, we should do rock, paper, vibrator to get to see
totally
who does it.
Well, I am, I think, Susan's not here. Can't speak for Susan. You never know with her. But I'm probably the least grossed out by it. So I am happy to take it last.
Okay. Let's move on. But that's great. And it hasn't arrived yet. Who knows when or if it will come. I think.
Ha.
I mean.
Come on, Geraldine.
All right.
Okay.
Let's move on to our next voicemail.
Okay.
Hello. Hi, Because Show. Hi, Because Show. We are the Arrogance, and we're here with
one of the bald babies.
Yeah, Gino and Aaron are here.
Aaron's kind of here.
You bought us a round of drinks, so we had to call you.
Baller move.
Baller move. It was crazy. The waitress came over and said, do you know someone named Geraldine? Because she just bought you a round of drinks. Over the phone. So we had to call you and just let you know how the night has ended up.
Mm-hmm. Paint a picture, Eric.
Well, Jesse and I are laying in a bed together.
It's true.
Jesse is in a turquoise sleeping bag. Light blue.
In Colorado.
It is legal. Right now, Aaron is wrapped up in blankets butt to butt with Gino in the other bed. Yeah, butt to butt. And we're about to pass out.
I'm drinking a Negro Modelo.
Yeah, that's delicious. With the round of drinks you bought us, we got four beasts, which are the which is a very high alcohol beer, is 16%, and got the night started off right.
Mm-hmm. Beef nut.
And because you sponsored our drunk dial, you are the recipient of it. we're going to watch some televangelists and then fall asleep from the Rocky Mountains. We just want to say Picasso is our favorite show featuring the greatest ladies this side of the Rocky Mountains. And thank you so much for the beers. Anything else?
No, I need to get to that televangelist.
All right. We're going to get saved, so we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. That may be the favorite voicemail that we have ever gotten, ever. That ruled. And I have no idea. What do you mean you bought them a beer? How did you do that?
Okay, those are the guys from Bald Move, not only the host from Personal Arrogance, but also Aaron and Jim from the Bald Move TV podcast and some other ones. But they had been planning this Bald Move meetup in Boulder, Colorado, and they've been talking about it for basically months, that they were going to meet, and they invited all their listeners to meet them at the Avery Brewing Company Friday night at 8 o'clock. And so it sounded really fun. So what I did is I called. I think Colorado is like an hour behind. And I talked to the manager and I said, hey, there's going to be a group there that I want to buy a round of drinks for. And here's my credit card info. And can you make sure that they get it? And then the Avery Brewing Company was nice enough to see that the drinks got to the boys that I wanted them to. And I just got such a kick out of it because on their Facebook page, like, they sort of were like live, not tweeting, but live responding. And then all of a sudden there was a post like all in capitals, like, oh my God, Geraldine just remote bought us shots. And
Geraldine Deaver.
They were so appreciative.
You just got like, I already thought you were cool. You just got a million times cooler in my mind. Like all the points you just lost, we're not trying to sieve in. You have gained and then some. That is the coolest thing to do. I never would have thought of that. That's amazing.
I know. I was pretty tickled myself, and it seemed
that's
like they really liked it.
What a good idea.
So.
And also, I have to say, that call was just the best combination of, like, adorbs that they were having their slumber party and, like, cute drunk guys calling us. It was so awesome that they called us from their bed, and they're going to watch Televangelist, which I don't understand. Is that serious?
I don't know. No, they were just probably watching whatever's on. But,
oh, my gosh. I have to call their podcast at some point. You guys, I'm going to call you, and I don't have anything to say, but I'm going to call you anyway and babble.
We actually
I have more to say. I want to have a Picasso meetup now. That'd be fun. I don't know if we have any Southern California friends, but it'd still be fun.
We don't even have to. I mean, we could do it in Las Vegas over the summer. We could do. I mean, we could have set Susan up in Vancouver. She's away in Canada. She could have met somebody.
Well, I think we should start with just like an evening. Okay. Because what if we don't, if we go to Vegas and then we don't like half the people, that'd be bad. but we should start with that'd be really fun to have a little evening meetup for drinks with, you know, the handful of people here.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It sounded, and it just seemed like they announced it on their show and mm-hmm. the people in the area showed up and they had drinks and it sounded like a really fun time.
I know a few ladies who would go.
All right. Well, let's make it happen.
Okay, good.
So moving on, we actually got a bunch of voicemails. Shall we launch into the next one?
Yeah.
I haven't listened to them all.
I love this.
Okay.
Hi, guys. This is Lauren. I'm calling from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And I love the show. I listen to it all the time, mostly while I'm cleaning the house. It makes the time go by so fast. Anyway, I wanted to weigh in about finances and couples. My husband and I have a system. We've been married for 6 years. We got married when I was 25, and we both like to be pretty independent with our money. So what we do is we have, like a lot of couples, we have the joint account where everything goes into and our mortgage comes out of, but we have, we each get two payments of $250 a month. So we each get $500 a month, and that has to be spent on our eating out and our buying music online and our clothing and sports and activities and entertainment. And that prevents us from having fights about stuff coming out of the joint account and why did you buy this music and that kind of thing. So it works very well for us, and it also allows me to save up for things that I want and my husband doesn't want, such as a treadmill. I was able to save up some of that money and get myself a treadmill and didn't have to run that by my husband, although he was happy about it too. So anyway, keep up the great work. I love your shows. Have a great day.
That was so cute.
That was
your
so
accent
cute.
Is so cute. You have the cutest Canadian accent. And I fully support that financial system. My husband and I, when we were together, did something similar. Almost the same amount of money each. And it was really nice. It's really nice to not have to answer or feel guilty about things. Like, shoot, you know, if you want to buy a pair of shoes, just do it. You don't have to feel bad or whatever. We used to affectionately call it our hoard. And we got a certain amount of money every week, a certain amount of cash, and we would spend some and then save some cash, like in our underwear drawer or whatever. And then you go and you count all your money. You're like, ah, I got, you know, $200 and I don't have to, it's just all mine and I don't have to answer to anyone. So I totally support that if people are looking for a system or they want to do their own shopping and not feel bad about it. It's a good way to go.
I would be interested about what do you do if you don't work, if you're a stay-at-home mom who doesn't get any income on her own? Like, you just have to ask your husband for it? Or, like, how do
I don't know.
Those people?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I know we probably have some stay-at-home mom listeners, and I wonder if that is a thing that kind of, like, gets under their bonnet. It's a bee in their bonnet that, like, they don't like asking the mm-hmm. husband. I mean, I can't imagine if you've been married for years and years that, like, it's probably, I would hope, so streamlined that you don't even have to, like, think about it.
Right.
Because wouldn't that really bug you if you had to ask? Or...
No, that would not be cool.
Yeah. But isn't that how, I don't know. I think that's how it's done.
Not necessarily.
Or unless you have just your joint account and it's, like, understood that, like, as long as you don't go over this much.
Yeah. I mean, I know.
Buy what you need.
My mom always worked, but I at least know with my parents, where my mom didn't always, you know, she stayed home with me a little bit, and my dad, like, way, 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 way out-earned her. It was always just like, it's our money.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, you know.
Don't 100%, go crazy.
Not don't go crazy. It was just like 100% the two of our money. But then my mom's a little bit C-H-E-A-P, so it wasn't really a problem, you know?
Right.
But like, it was never an issue.
Well,
but I know with other couples, it can
be. I guess
be.
It just depends on the personality. Because if you've got, like, the husband's a saver and the wife's a spender, and right. the wife is maybe not making, you know, bringing in income, it would be a problem. But I would hope that, I mean, if listeners, if this is you and you're in that situation, or you worked through this situation, I'd be very curious to know. But let's use this call to springboard into some money talk. We've got a lot of listener feedback that they are, I mean, Amy, I owe it all to you.
Yay.
I hemmed and hawed about getting into this, but you persevered.
Mm-hmm.
And actually a whole bunch of listeners had said, yes, we'd like the money talk. And do you have any budgeting tips? And that's been the main thing, budgeting tips and ways to save money.
Yeah. And I can give an update on my situation, which is I did not make it at all. Like, I wanted to that pay period, have spent a certain amount, have a certain amount left over, so it wasn't too tight, you know, for the next one, and I pretty much zeroed it out. And it's really frustrating because I didn't do anything major. Like, I didn't buy anything major, and I was really paying attention, and I was like, what the hell? Like, I couldn't do it. So I'm feeling pretty frustrated about that. So I'm still trying here. I'm still, there's no reason I shouldn't be able to live on my income, and yet I seem to be really having a problem with that. So I'm feeling like, I'm still determined, but it was a pretty frustrating experience.
Okay. Well, I would like to comment on this.
Okay.
Like, there's two ways.
And you can't tell me to stop getting my hair colored because it is not an option.
There's no, this isn't specifically to you, but there's basically two ways to alleviate this problem, like feeling you have not enough money. It's either to reduce your spending or mm-hmm. increase your income, right? And the ways, okay, I'm not going to be preachy, but I'm just saying that those are the only two ways. You either mm-hmm. have to bring more money in or you have to spend less money. Okay. So the ways that I mean, I've gone through periods where I've been very poor as a student. And when I grew up, my family was basically poor. They were, my dad was a sociologist and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And sociologists do not make a lot of money. And then later on, he moved on to epidemiology, and things got a little better. But as I was growing up, we were basically poor.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I think personality feeds into it a lot. Like, what can you live with and what's comfortable for you? Because for some people, you know, it's varies so much. Some people, like you, you are not willing to give up your hair color.
No way.
But for some people, they would not consider spending money in a salon. They would just be like, oh, I'm going to do it myself and mm-hmm. buy them nice and easy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but so for me, when I want to save money, I have a few tricks that I'm willing to share. And okay. I've given them clever names.
Good. I can't wait.
Okay. One is called Just Say No. It's being able to walk away or click away. Like, especially I do this all the time when you're on a website, you're doing your online shopping, you're putting stuff in your cart, it's adding up. And then all of a sudden I'll just be like, click away.
Good. I like that.
And then you leave that. And it's kind of like, out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it depends. It's really, really good for impulse shopping. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like J. Crew is having their 40% off final sale, and you want this and then you want that, and then, oh, that's the other good thing. But so if I get into that situation, I will just click away.
Click away is good.
Click away. The next thing is eyes on the prize.
Oh, another good one. Okay.
This is for long-term goals. If you are able to have that thing in the distance, the big thing, your new car, your down payment on a house, your kids' private school tuition, whatever, that big thing, and you can really focus on that, it makes it a lot easier to forego the smaller expenditures. Like, you're mm-hmm. like, I don't really need this, you know, magazine. I'm going to put my money in the bank.
I did steal a magazine from work today. That's good, right? Instead of buying one.
You saved yourself $4.99.
Yep.
So also, Polly Want a Cracker.
Okay. I like these, Geraldine. You've been holding out on us.
This is a reward system of you. This is a reward system of giving yourself for every like little sort of goal you meet. Like, I want to meet my goal for saving money this month. When you do that, you get your reward.
Oh.
As in, Polly wants a cracker.
Is the reward have to do with spending money? Buying
no, it
something?
Has to be something. It can be small. It can mm-hmm. be, if that's what you really want, but small enough that it's not going to like make a big dent in what you've already accumulated. But
like what?
I don't know. Lip gloss,
okay.
You know,
yeah.
A nice sushi dinner or something, a small thing,
because mm-hmm.
you do want to avoid frugality fatigue, which is what sets in when you go
yeah.
cold turkey. You don't want to go cold turkey. So you have to reward yourself at little intervals.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing is you're in it to win it.
In it to win it's good too.
This is the idea of making a game or a personal challenge out of the idea of saving, where you are challenging yourself and making a game out of it. Like, I wonder if I can do this. Can I live on $100 for the next week? I bet I can. And
okay.
then you kind of make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds weird, but if you can get into the right mindset, like, I'm challenging myself to see if I can meet this goal.
Okay. Geraldine, how would you live on $100 in the next week? What would you do?
Well, that doesn't include bills,
okay.
mortgage,
right?
Or groceries, maybe. Like, I'm just, it's like $100 fun money.
Well, yeah.
You
well, then
put
it's
it in
easy.
Your wallet.
Right.
Yeah. Well, some people can't do that. Like,
okay.
to have $100 to last you for 7 days, that means not going out to lunch with your friends,
right.
bringing your lunch to work, not going to the drugstore after work to buy makeup or whatever. Like,
mm-hmm.
those little things, if you are somebody who does that, you would have to say, I'm in it to win it.
Yeah.
Eyes on the prize.
Probably want a cracker. Click away. What's the last one? Did I forget one?
I think that's it.
Okay.
But no, I mean, it depends on, you know, everyone's in different situations. There's students who
right.
are making very little income. There's people who are, you know, have a lot of disposable income with
mm-hmm.
no kids. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, it's, you know, everybody's different.
Yeah. And I think I really underestimate just the regular spending, what you have to do just to live, you know? Like, I think I'm like, oh, okay, I have these bills, I have this rent, like, and I'm adding it up in my head, and I don't always account for just the extra stuff that happens all the time that you got to do.
Right. Well, on the flip side of reducing your income, there's
mm-hmm.
also increasing, wait.
Reducing your
spending. On the
right?
flip side of reducing your spending, there's also increasing your income, and mm-hmm. I have a few things to say about that.
Sure.
Especially people maybe who don't have a job or are not working right now. What about, okay, these are the most basic things. I wonder if no one has thought of them.
Okay, I want to hear it. Are you going to say stuff envelopes at home?
No, garage sales, Etsy.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, take your hobby and make money, because
mm-hmm.
You can. I mean, if you're that motivated, like there's Etsy. There's something called Foodsy, although I would be hesitant to do that.
Gross. Grossies.
Well, say you make jam.
Okay.
I mean, but it does have to be sterile.
I'm going to have one called, you going to eat that?
eBay. There's a new thing called Poshmark, which is like eBay, but different. It's set up differently, but people are selling. It's not an auction, but it's like a site where you can sell. It's kind of like really good for 20-year-old like fashionistas. But people are taking pictures of their clothes and selling them for a set price. Like,
yeah.
Have you seen that?
No. I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? I have stuff I can take to a consignment shop. I can
do that. Take it to a consignment shop. Have your garage sale. Clean out your garage. Yeah. Put your fancy velvet chairs on Craigslist. Like, there's ways to get that pocket money. And once you get in that mindset of increasing your monthly income, it, you know, make it part of the game. And that's another way. Because I do eBay. Occasionally. I don't do it all the time. But even like when I was a teenager, I sold t-shirts at Grateful Dead shows. I made beaded jewelry. I always sold that. I mean, it's once you get into that mindset, it becomes kind of.
Yeah. And I'm like, totally not in that mindset.
You're always
ever.
Looking for like, oh, I wonder if I could sell that.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there you go, people. I would love to hear feedback if you think my ideas are completely ludicrous.
I think that was all excellent advice. And
Thank
I'd
you.
Also want to hear what our listeners have to say.
Right. Well, let us hear what one listener had to say. We actually have another voicemail.
Yay.
Hi, Because Show. Just took a big drink of coffee. Sorry, it's kind of early in the morning. Anyway, I wanted to call because I am the woman who worked at the movie theater. I just listened to the episode where you guys were talking about if you think it's possible to have good sex throughout a marriage. So my husband and I have been married for almost 13 years, and we've been together for, I don't know how long, since 1994. And here is our motto. Our motto is quality over quantity. So we have sex, and my husband would kill me if he knew that I was on a podcast voicemail line right now telling you this, but maybe 3 or 4 times a month. And all my friends tell me that that is a crazy low number, and they think that we must be terribly unhappy if that's the case. But it's not the case, because it, the longer we hold off, the better it is when we do it. So I think it is absolutely possible. I don't think that any kind of pressure of, oh, man, we really need to spice things up, we better start doing new stuff. We better start doing it more often because this book says you're supposed to be doing it, you know, 3 times a week or whatever. I think all of that stuff is bullshit, and it's totally possible if you just don't put any pressure on yourself and just, you know, do it when you want to do it, and, you know, it'll be good. Anyway, quality over quantity. So, thanks, ladies. Love your show. Always listen. Couple behind, but catching up. Bye.
Thank you for calling. We requested that you call, and then you did, and that was awesome. And I got to tell you that 3 to 4 times a month sounds like a lot. Not a lot, but it sounds like a very healthy number to me. I know many couples who don't do it nearly that much, not even close. I think 3 or 4 times a month, especially if you have children, seems pretty good. And you've been together for 18 years. That's pretty great. That's quality and quantity, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Especially, I mean, people, or maybe our younger listeners who don't have kids may think that sounds like not very much, but people with families, I think, once a week, Saturday night. I mean, when else are you, you know?
Yeah.
Time is precious, and it's hard to get everything in, including... You know what I'm going to say.
Yeah. but yeah, no, I think that, I think you guys sound like a lovely couple. I wish you lived here. It'd be nice to talk to you. But yeah, I don't think that's, I don't know, listeners, you'll have to tell us if you feel comfortable telling us this. I think couples that have been together that long with children, I think 3 or 4 times a month is quite healthy.
But let's open up this question. And what if you know, the woman doesn't want to do it as frequently? I mean, that's a pretty common problem with couples. Or what if, you know, flip it. Maybe the woman doesn't have this same sex drive that her husband has. Yeah. And then if it's not even, if one person only wants to do it once a month and the other person wants to do it six times a month, that is probably where you're going to get into problems.
And I think we've all been on one side or the other of that situation.
And resentment.
Yeah.
Not resentment. I mean, I hope that people's their spouses would be as understanding and, you know, willing to compromise.
It totally breeds resentment.
Some way.
I mean,
I know it does.
I mean, if it's an ongoing pattern, like if it's like once in a while, but if it's like a really ongoing pattern that one spouse gets it once every out of every six tries or something, it totally breeds resentment.
Well, that's also why people have affairs, but that's why marriages fall apart.
Too. Yeah.
There's
one
no
of the reasons.
Intimacy.
Well, I have a theory about sex and marriage. I think that, and you guys tell me if you think I'm right, and you can just tell me privately because it's a pretty personal thing to think about. I think that the sex life is kind of a microcosm of the marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think the dynamics in the sex life totally play themselves out in a more complicated way in the marriage. But I think it's just a couple sex life is totally distilled everything going on in the marriage. You know, that's my opinion.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. So now let's break away from the serious topics money and sex. I mean,
serious. Are we going to talk about religion and politics?
No, but okay. I do have some other things that are completely off the beaten track.
Okay.
And one of them is a fact or fiction game.
Okay, let's do it.
That I know we like to play.
I'm the only contestant, but I'm game.
Okay. So now we both have 5-year-old boys. So in our houses, there's always a lot of Lego around.
True.
Okay. So I am titling this segment, Everything You Wanted to Know About Lego, But Were Afraid to Ask.
I can't wait.
Okay. So I recently heard this radio segment on NPR about Lego, that it's sort of this universally, they've got a monopoly on the plastic blocks.
Ha 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 ha. Monopoly. Get it? Sorry. Go ahead.
And they are so well known, kids will not have any other plastic block because Lego has such incredible clutch power. They own the market. Mm-hmm. And it's a private company. It's the same family who their grandfather invented it. And it turns out that it was in Denmark. The Lego is a Danish phrase for play well.
Oh.
And so it was originally a wooden toy that a Dane made in 1934. And then it wasn't until 1958 that it became a plastic modern brick design. So, and then over the years, it's just grown and grown. And now there's Legoland and it's this huge entity. It's still a private company, but it's never changed. The Lego blocks that were made in 1958 will still fit on the Lego blocks from today.
Wow.
So they do use this material, ABS, the acrylonitrate butadiene styrene polymer.
Of course.
And it's hugely strong. If you wanted to imagine making a tower of Lego blocks, like one on top of the other on top of the other, like how many Lego blocks do you think you could stack on top of each other until you got to the point where the bottom Lego block would be crushed?
Oh my gosh, never.
Well, they figured it out.
Okay, how
by
many?
Using physics. 755,000.
Wow.
It's basically like from here up to the sun.
Oh my god. Wow. It's a lot of Legos.
It is a lot of Legos. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of Lego themes. Like, I'm not talking about one character or one little item of a guy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the Lego wheelbarrow girl. These are themes that have been produced. Some are discontinued. But now we're going to do the fact and fiction part of my...
Let's do it.
Okay. So, fact or fiction. Which of these themes and series are made up by me and which are true?
Okay.
Okay. Lego baby.
Fact.
Lego... I'll correct you if it's incorrect.
Okay, so that's a fact.
True.
So that's true.
Okay. Okay. Lego Senior.
Fiction.
Correct. Lego Castle.
Fact.
Yes. Lego Throwbots.
Fact.
Lego Robo Riders.
Fact.
Lego Rock Riders.
Fact.
Lego Slicers.
Fiction. Fact.
Fact.
Okay.
Lego Mindstorm.
Fact.
Lego Bionicle.
Fact.
Lego Hero Factory.
Well, I know that's a fact.
Lego AquaZone.
Fact.
Lego Aqua Raiders.
Fact.
Lego Time Travels.
Fiction.
Fact.
Damn.
Lego Homemaker.
Fiction.
Fact.
Really?
Lego Technic.
Fact.
Lego Island Extreme Stunts.
Fact.
Fact. That was pretty good.
Thank you. There's really Lego Homemaker?
Yes.
Wow.
There is Lego Homemaker. There's Lego Rock Raiders, Lego Slicer, Lego Mindstorm. Wow. I was like, wow, that is a lot of Lego.
That's a lot of Legos.
I know, but kids like the Lego.
I have to say that I bought Benji some kind of Lego knockoff thing, and I was like, I'm never buying that again. It sucked. Because they did not have the clutch power. It didn't stay together. Benji got upset. I got upset. I'm like, no more. No more of that. It doesn't work.
That is not one way to save money. Don't skimp on the Lego.
Seriously.
Yeah. And it's expensive, too.
Yeah.
It's super expensive. But that's because they know they can charge that much.
But that's the kind of thing you can get on eBay for cheaper, garage sales or wherever.
Oh, yes.
Just like get a big box
of them. Totally.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And one other thing that has clutch power. This is a new thing that's come on the market that I thought you might want to know about. Wrangler Jeans is making a new moisturizing jeans.
Ew. Gross. So like you put on the jeans and they're like full of lotion on the inside? Oh, that is disgusting. That is disgusting.
They have sold out everywhere.
Gross.
But it's a moisturizer is embedded in the denim on the inside.
Do you know what the first thing I thought of was?
What?
Jizz-filled jeans. And that's because I am disgusting, but that is disgusting.
Well, people, especially on the East Coast, in the winter months where it's cold and they have scaly, cold, dry skin, they're loving these Wrangler moisturizing jeans. And you can't even buy them in the stores. They've sold out. They're sold out online. It's gross. Like the newest, hottest, slipperiest,
slimiest, disgustingest
blue jean on the market.
Bleh.
So, yeah. Now, one other thing that I've discovered lately is the Freakonomics podcast. I know I love them. I listen to it all the time whenever they come out with a new one. The Freakonomics team is starting a new decision-making site called Freakonomics Experiments. And what they're doing is they're asking people who need help making decisions when they have a dilemma to go on the Freakonomics site, click on the Freakonomics Experiment button, and they will lead you through a series of questions to help you make your decision. They're doing this so they can gain insight into decision-making abilities and collect data. So I went on it today. There's a whole bunch of different things like categories of home, beauty, health. No, not beauty. They don't. No. career, education, home, relationships. And if you have a question, they have questions listed. You can pick one that applies to you. And then follow it through and they will help you make a decision.
So that's pretty cool.
It is cool. I didn't quite find a question that I could answer, but I hope other people will find their way there.
Mm-hmm.
So now what else is going on? Amy, I don't want to take over the whole show. How is your library card situation?
I have gotten good advice. I met a woman at a party who's a librarian who I think can hook me up. She was like, send me your information. And I can probably help you with it, which is awesome, but I have not done it yet. I have not been on top of it. So, I don't have an update except for that I'm lame, but I'm going to do it because I'm out of books and I have a book recommendation. As long as we're talking about that, Geraldine, you're going to love this book. And it was recommended to us by a few listeners and I just finished it called, The 13th Tale. Boy, was it good. It was so awesome. It was, so thanks for the recommendation. It's very gothic. It's got creepy twins and creepy castles and moors and storms and twists and complicated stories on top of other complicated stories and old bookstores. And I really liked it. And I was reading it. I'm like, oh, Geraldine, I'm totally going to like that.
That sounds good.
It was really good.
Oh, I really need a book to read.
Oh, good. You would like it. You really should read it.
Great. We love those book recommendations.
Yeah, this was a great one. So thank you for all the people who recommended it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, in fact, one of my favorite book series was recommended to me by a listener a long time ago. And it's so funny that like I love this book so much that I can't imagine if this person hadn't recommended it to me, I never would have found it. The Gone series.
Oh yeah, you loved it.
I love it. And it's only February, but I'm already anticipating the next book that's coming out April 2nd. I pre-ordered it. It's called Light.
April 2nd is a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, and I think this is the fifth in the series, but if longtime listeners have heard me rave about this, Susan didn't like it because it was too dark.
Mm-hmm.
I love it though. And I can't wait for the next one to come out.
Cool.
So now guess what?
What?
We actually have another voicemail.
No way. I feel like we've been talking for 16 hours. Okay. I want to hear it.
Okay.
Hi, The Code Show. Geraldine, Amy, and Susan. This is Emma from Charleston, South Carolina. I just wanted to call in and tell y'all how much I love your podcast. It just makes my week. I've been really enjoying listening to the money talk in the past couple episodes because I am a single 28-year-old. Gosh, I don't want to give myself a year already. And a teacher, so I don't make a lot of money. But I am working on my budget, and it's interesting hearing everybody else's thoughts on budgets. Also love the book recommendations. Gone Girl was good, disappointing. I just read her other book, Sharp Objects, and that one was really good. And since I have been listening to the podcast, I had to tell y'all that I have bought a Clarisonic, and I've gotten a prescription for retin-A, and my skin has never looked better. I hope one day, too, once I meet someone who can afford to pay for someone to clean my bathroom, to have someone keep clean my bathroom, because everybody wants that, right? Anyway, I love you guys, and I can't wait to listen to the episode this week. Bye.
Okay, I think I'm a little choked up right now. That was so awesome. I just feel like our work is done here. Like, we should just end the podcast now forever, because it's never going to get better than that. That was awesome. Also, extremely cute accent. It was so cute.
That was great. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I love that in our teeny itty bitty little way, we impacted someone's life.
If we can just help one person have better skin.
I know. It's all worth it. Made her skin look better.
And a better budget and good books to read and a clean bathroom that she didn't have to clean herself. It's all good. That was great.
I know.
Oh my gosh, what a cute person that was.
Oh my goodness. We are so lucky that we have such good listeners.
We do.
So we're going to wrap it up now. Mm-hmm. We will be back next week. Susan will be with us. This week she was traveling to Vancouver, I think, for like a teacher's conference.
Yeah, so panel technology in the schools. Yeah. Something sounded important.
So we will be back next week. Before we go, we have to shout out another great listener, mm-hmm. our friend and listener KQ mm-hmm. sent us these samples in the mail of some beauty products, and it was really, really thoughtful.
Very cute, and very cute monogrammed little card there with K's on it. It's adorable.
Very nice. So This week we were voicemail heavy.
Yeah, it was great.
Content light.
No, not content light. It only added. It gave the show more dimension and made it even better, if that's possible.
Okay.
Geraldine.
All right. We will sign off by asking listeners if they have something to buy on Amazon, go to the baldmove.com link, buy it through the Amazon affiliate. There's a bar at the top. You click on it. It'll take you to Amazon. You can buy your thing. And in a small way, it supports the show. I think it gives like 4% or something from the Amazon price. It doesn't impact your cost at all. Mm-hmm. And also, we are going to be doing our Kindle Fire giveaway. We aren't going to go over all the rules here because it's blah, 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 but you can either ask us on our Facebook page. The giveaway is starting soon, like as soon as this podcast is uploaded. And you can go to the baldmove.com site as well for the rules and details and ways to enter. So That will be exciting for somebody to win that.
And I also want to say, we started off this podcast feeling kind of, both of us kind of tired, kind of run down, and now we are both so perky.
I know.
So it did the job.
It did.
Yeah.
We will say goodbye and keep the voicemails coming. We love them.
That was great. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.